Lead Story is proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.
My name's Angie Scholes, and in our lead story this evening, I'm joined by Robin Sheerborn, local economist. Welcome, sir.
Thank you very much, Angie.
You delivered the State of the Economy presentation, which showed that while Namibia has seen modest post-COVID growth, the investment climate remains weak, with private sector investment outside mining and oil and gas still falling. Give us some key highlights.
Yeah, well, that's the main message I'm trying to get across, and I have been. This is now the fourth State of the Namibian Economy lecture I've given over the past 4 years, and I've noticed since 2015, essentially, that if you take away investment in the oil and gas sector, if you take away investment in the mining sector, then private sector investment in this country has been on the decline for many years now, and that's an extreme concern to me. If we want to grow faster, create more jobs for more Namibians, we're going to have to invest an awful lot more than we have been. So we're going to have to reverse this long-term trend of declining private sector investment. And this is my key message, essentially. That then affects growth, it affects export diversification, it affects employment, it affects everything else. So we have to tackle this key issue.
Robin, Namibia has been reclassified as a lower middle income country by the World Bank.
That's right.
What does this mean in practical terms for access to loans, aid and investor perceptions?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a bit of a double-edged sword. I think it's an indication of our failure. We discovered at the end of last year that our population is growing by 3% a year, not 1.4% a year. So our growth needs to be at least 3% a year now just to keep up with population growth. So if we're not growing by 3%, we're actually getting poorer on average. So that's very important to understand. Now, of course, going down in the World Bank's classification, there's possibly some possibility of more development type loans for us because on average, we're a poorer country. But on the other hand, it's going to be harder for us to raise money on commercial markets. Remember, 10 years or so, we went out to the Eurobond market and borrowed many hundreds of millions of US dollars because we were an upper middle income country. And so that essentially helps us. So I think the richer we are on average and the better we run our affairs, the more credit worthy we are, we can go anywhere in the world to borrow money. And that's an advantage for an economy that needs investment.
Mm.
So we're going in the opposite direction. We're going contrary to the founding fathers' Vision 2030, which was for us to be a high-income country, an industrialized country by the year 2030, which is now, of course, only 5 years around the corner.
Yeah. You've pointed out that the economic policy is still driven more by politics than sound economics.
Yes.
Which specific policy shifts would you recommend to improve investor confidence?
Yeah. Well, you put your finger on it. I don't think there's enough economic analysis and enough economic thinking around the policies we pursue. I highlight the relatively poor investment climate. If we want to get private sector investment up, we need to improve our investment climate, which I think is essentially clouded by too much politics, politicization, too much policy uncertainty. Key policies are not in place, especially to encourage foreign direct investment. Too much bureaucracy and regulation. I think we can do away or streamline a lot of that. And then general risk aversion to investment. So Namibia generally, and this goes for the private as well as the public sector, I would say we're a little bit averse to risk. So it's the foreigners who then come in and take advantage because they're prepared to accept the risk. We rather put our investments into, you know, houses or government bonds where you're basically secure of a return. So that needs to change as well. And I also think our whole startup culture, we need to focus not on throwing lots of money at sunset industries like Air Namibia. I think that's a mistake. We need to be putting that money into Namibian startups to create the businesses of the future. So that's essentially my view of the business climate.
So despite oil and gas discoveries, you warn of delays and policy uncertainty. What reforms are needed now to ensure Namibia can actually benefit when revenues start flowing?
Well, that's another great question, I have to say. So we're on the verge of something potentially huge, transformational, with the offshore oil and gas finds. But I think there are some issues there. First, there's the policy uncertainty surrounding the sector. Again, more policy uncertainty and also possibly politicization. So President Ndaitwa came into office. She appointed a new cabinet, which is all fine. It was a very smooth transition. We had the budget, which was a sort of business as usual budget. But then she appointed this new upstream petroleum unit in her office. So she essentially took oil and gas from mines and energy, where it's traditionally been housed, to the office of the president. Meanwhile, she downgraded the NIPDB, which has now moved away from the president's office into international relations. And this, remember, NIPDB potentially could be very important in attracting the investment I think we need to boost private sector investment, which was the first point I made. And now, having appointed the two key advisors within the UPU, McLeod and Cornelia Shilunga, Cornelia's the head, she's now charged them with reviewing our whole oil and gas policy environment. I asked two questions. What have we been doing since the first oil finds in early 2022? Have we not been reviewing all these policies already? And second question is, how long is this review going to take? How long is it going to take for us to be in a position to approve or not approve these final investment decisions that will be pending over the next year or so? So I can foresee delays. Government has talked about an oil refinery. Government's talking about local content policies. Government's talking about an independent petroleum regulatory agency. Government's talking about Namibianization of the sector and a minimum of 30% state carry in all upstream oil and gas projects. This will cloud the water and it will delay any company reaching a final investment decision. At the moment, the talk is there'll be an FID in 2026, possibly. I think Total Energies and Rhino are racing to take that first FID, but they will only take an FID if they're certain of the policy environment. And at the moment, I think the president has thrown everything up in the air again, created an awful lot of uncertainty.
Then on green hydrogen, cost competitiveness and global demand remain key hurdles. Do you think Namibia's strategy is realistic, or should we be more cautious about betting heavily on the sector?
Another good question. So I'm quite positive on green hydrogen, I have to say, but only under certain circumstances. So far, our green hydrogen sector has been heavily supported by the Europeans. I don't think that's a bad thing. They're putting in the money, they've got the investors, they've got the expertise, and they've even got the market. So they're doing it in their interest, of course. But we're going along with it and benefiting from it. I think if we're talking about creating green hydrogen or green ammonia here and shipping it to other parts of the world, to where the markets are, I think that's a tough ask. I think it's very difficult for us to be cost competitive, because shipping, taking this stuff around the world, is incredibly expensive and difficult at the moment. Technology might change, but I don't foresee anything happening in the next 5 years. I might be wrong. So I think it is much more a question of the two demonstration projects that are getting off the ground here. And remember, we're almost world leaders. We're certainly continental leaders in this, which is great. We're on the green hydrogen map with the Oshivela project near Rundis, which is the high iron project where you're creating this direct reduced iron. So you're taking iron oxide and you're creating iron from it, which you're then shipping to the rest of the world, which is relatively straightforward to ship. So I think that's very exciting. And then the CMB project at the coast, which is basically planning to create green ammonia, which will be used to refuel ships that come to you. So we're not taking the green ammonia to the ships. They're coming to us, refueling, they're bunkering in Morpheus Bay and then going on their merry way. So I think those two projects have much more potential than us just producing green hydrogen and taking it to other parts of the world. So I still think there's something in this. I'm happy for the private sector to take the risk, put the money in and reap the rewards if necessary. I think government is, well, it certainly has got a stake in the Hyphen project, which will not get off the ground for a number of years yet, if at all. So I'm not a great believer in government getting involved in these high-risk ventures. Let's see what happens. But I think there's a lot of positive stuff going on there.
Yeah. You've said private sector investment outside mining and energy is still falling. What conditions are deterring investors, and how could government quickly change that?
Yeah. Well, government could quickly change that by certainly stopping doing damaging things. So, for example, we had the 51% announcement for the mining sector at the beginning of this month, which sort of came out of the blue. It appeared in NDP6, where there's a 51% to 60% target included in the document, but it wasn't mentioned specifically in either the manifesto or the SWADPO manifesto implementation plan. So it came as a bit of a surprise to the industry. So we should stop doing things that surprise investors and take them unawares.
Yeah.
That doesn't cost us anything to do. Then we have to work on improving our investment environment. As I say, we need to create certainty, not uncertainty. We need to depoliticize things. So that includes public enterprises. Let them get on with their business. We set the framework and let them get on with it. I think that's very important because they're critical in the future of this economy. And then we need to deregulate and streamline bureaucratic processes. It can take an awful long time for investors to get their permits and licenses and things. And we certainly need to depoliticize the whole thing. So set the framework and invite the investors in. At the moment, we've been doing it the other way around. We're saying, come on in, investors. Oh, and by the way, the rules of the game aren't yet clear. We're still working on them. That's the wrong way around.
That's true. So just the last question, Robin, if bold reforms are not made, what risks does Namibia face in the next decade, especially regarding job creation and inclusive growth?
Yes. Again, a very important question, Angie. Our track record on job creation has been incredibly poor, and I put that down to the investment environment and the lack of private sector investment. It's actually not the big, glamorous projects that you hear about that are going to create the mass of the jobs for people. And this is true in any economy. It's the smaller family-owned businesses, smaller businesses that are going to create the mass of the jobs, and often in sectors that you're not expecting as a government planner. So we must let the private sector do its thing. But I think if we don't get things right over the next few years, I think the oil and gas opportunity is huge. It will attract a lot of international attention. And if we get it right, it will bring in a lot of additional investment, even outside the oil and gas sector. If we get it wrong, we're in trouble. I think the door's closing on oil and gas projects the world over. It's getting more difficult to finance these projects because we're all aiming for net zero by 2050. And of course, this flies in the face of that. So I think Namibia has to get its skates on if it wants to be one of the last frontier oil and gas economies in the world, which is essentially what we might be. If we get it wrong, FID is delayed to 27, 28, 29. That means the oil only starts flowing 5 years after that, so the early 30s. The revenue then come at the end of the 30s once the investments have been recouped. This is a long-term game. So you're talking about significant revenues to government by the end of the 2030s here if we delay. So there's an awful lot at stake. I think we need to get policy right. We need to get some economic thinking into policy. Otherwise, as I said in my presentation, which was based on this famous quote by Mike Tyson, the American boxer, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. We're being punched in the face at the moment by oil and gas write-downs, by the international environment in green hydrogen, by what's happening with Mr. Trump and his reciprocal tariffs. You name it, there are punches being thrown left, right, and center. Will our plan survive those punches and the reality? I think we have to see.
Thank you so much, Robin. I am so grateful you came into studio to talk to us.
It's a pleasure.
The lead story was proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.